Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 281, part 1, promise 3. Today is Friday, March 1st, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's message is entitled Promise 3. We've been ministering on the gospel message for some weeks now. Its simplicity, how it's irrevocable, how it can never change, never ever change, and about the incorruptible seed. About Abraham's two sons, the two seeds we call them, one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was born after the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by the promise. Galatians 4, 22 and 23. And just to go back, retrospect here, go back a little bit here, we said some people haven't received the promise yet. We said they talked about it, and that they were always learning, but never quite come to know Jesus. And we also said until they fully receive the promise, they are Ishmaels, the flesh people. And also only when they receive the promise, eternal life through Jesus Christ, then they become like Isaac. Free born. We also said that the dead child of nature may be carefully washed by its mother. She can get behind the ears. She can play fire engine on them all over, you know, and go all over their face and clean them up and make sure they're good and clean. She may carefully wash this baby, but it will never make it a living child of grace. See, the life of God within the soul creates an infinite difference between the man who has it and the man that doesn't. And I believe the point is to make sure that we have this life. you listening on the radio or to this tape. Also, we ministered some time back on sowing the right seeds and harrowing or praying over it, and that it is God that gives the increase, and that we are also rewarded by doing this, and not by the results, just simply sow the seeds. It's not our concern. Well, we might be concerned, but see, we don't know all things. We can't judge all things. We know very, very little. So God says, sow the seeds. And we'll be judged on how we sowed the seeds. Not by the results. Know how important this gospel message is in this very trying time in our history. In this age of thousands of religions, and there's a whole lot of new ones coming on the scene right now. In this age of Ishmael seed sowers, the legalists, the flesh, the age of sowing to the flesh. And so the differing hopes of the two sons, Ishmael, the world, and Isaac, who lived for the promise, as a man's hopes are, such as he. And if this hope is in the promise of God, it's got to be well with him. Once that you're born again, it's going to go well with you. What are your hopes? I talked to someone not too long ago that was waiting for a rich relative to die. That was his hope. He says, well, I don't hope it, but you know, it's going to happen. And I know what's going to happen when I get the money and, you know, so on and so on. That was his hope, waiting for someone to die, like some kind of a vulture. Are you living in that sort of a speculation? Is your hope in a dying world? I thought to myself, why hope in an Ishmael world? And I said to the young man, why don't we go beyond the grave? Happy, it says, is he who believes the promise and feels assured of its fulfillment to himself in due time, and leaves all else in the hands of infinite wisdom and love. Don't try to figure out the incorruptible seed. And so many times we judge whether we're carrying that seed because, see, we do things in the flesh. We start to judge ourselves and say, well, maybe I don't have the incorruptible seed. Doesn't have anything to do with your rotting flesh. Has nothing to do with a fertilizer. Don't try to figure it out. Just sow it. Just receive it, and then sow it. And so then last Sunday we ended on this note. Galatians 4, 28 and 29. It goes like this. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, the children of a promise, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. As it was then, so the persecution continues now between the Ishmaels, and we call them the Ishis, and the Isaacs. That persecution is always going to be there. Because you remember Ishmael was very, very jealous, very envious. It made him cruel. Have you ever been envious yourself? And don't we get cruel when we're envious? We envy someone, we just get cruel. We get jealous of someone, we become very, very cruel. But anyway, I said very many precious people, I believe, and we're seeing it right now in this age, have been bitterly treated and have suffered bitterly from the cruel hatred of those who professed to be their brothers. Hi, brother so-and-so, and hi, sister so-and-so. And yet, their tongue betrays what they say on the basis of what comes out of their heart via the mouth. But anyway, Ishmael displayed his hate at the feast like the elder son did in the prodigal story. So then you can forget people loving you that are under the law. They're going to hate you. They hate those that know that they are saved by the grace of God and no other way. The reason is because they have not received the promise. Now, I know that we're talking about the unsaved, but there's a lot of saved, so-called, that fit in, I believe, into this category very, very well. It's a square peg going into a square opening. And I believe they have no love to give because they haven't received any. They have no forgiveness to give because they haven't received that forgiveness for themselves yet. And so you see, their understanding is darkened. Whatever that you don't receive in the light, well, then you receive the opposite. You receive darkness. You receive back to yourself that which you sow. You sow jealousy and envy and Ishmael attitudes. You receive the very same thing back again. But anyway, when you say that you are living on the promise, you will be persecuted. Well, there's nothing else to go on. Working in the mission field and down here in the mission, there is nothing else that you praise God that we can fully understand the grace message, because with all the we can see and all that we can hear and all that the heart can conceive, we'd never understand it. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart conceived. Because when you live in the promise, you live towards the promise. You're in it now, but the fulfillment comes day by day as you die daily to yourself. And so when you say that, you will be persecuted. And so let's go on. Tonight, let's look at the parting. The parting of the ways. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman, her son, and this comes out of Galatians 4 and 30. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Oh yes, Isaac and Ishmael lived together for a time. And that self-religionist and the believer in the promise may be members of the same church for years and years, but they can never agree. They can never get down to agreeing on the grace message and the salvation message and the free gift of Jesus Christ. Freely, freely I've given to you. Freely, freely give it away. Sow it. They cannot agree on that message. And they will never be happy together. There has got to come a parting of the ways. And the Bible says in the end, mother against daughter, son against father, wife against husband, vice versa. And there comes a parting of the ways. Because you see, their principles are essentially opposed. Different hopes, different seeds, two different worlds. Isn't there a song like that? Two different worlds. We live in two different worlds. Well, let me pause here to say this. You're listening on the radio. Let me pause. Know who you are now. Either an Ishmael or an Isaac, either you're living in self-works. It'll show up if you're living in self-works. Or you're living on the promise. Sometimes, when you're giving things away. The Bible says the more that you love, the less that you will be loved in this world, in this present world. And someone may even hate what you're doing. Now it'll show up whether you're in for works for works. If at a time you get mad, but can you resolve that in your own mind and say, okay, I resolve that and go on with your work. No, either you're living in a self-works or you're living on the promise. Either you're living under the law or you're living under grace. Make your distinction. Either you want to or you have to. The want to's, I want to, have been made willing, it says, in the day of my power. I will make you willing in the day of my power, says the Lord. So now God has put that I want to in you. Now you're under the grace message. And it says, His grace is sufficient unto thee. Now there isn't anything come your way that His grace can't take care of. But on the other hand, if you're like the elder son or you're like the Ishmael, the elder son, Ishmael, and you're doing it because you have to, and you're doing it for a different motive, you're in a different camp. Now, I'll have to say this. I think that we need to get into one camp or another. Get in one camp or get in another camp, one or the other. Either you want to or you don't want to. Boils down to that, doesn't it? Why are you doing this? I want to. Why are you doing this? I have to. A lot of people go to work because they have to. They punch in because they have to. Isn't that right? Then on the other hand, there's people that like to go to work, not all the time. But oh, what a difference there is in the people that want to. Either you admit all the way what camp you're in or be a miserable, don't make a wave person. There's a lot of people in this world say, don't make a wave. Don't disturb the waters. Or maybe you're a half and half person. What a miserable existence. To be half here and half there. Here again, there again, gone again, Flanagan. But just say this, and say it with conviction. I believe and I am fully persuaded and freely receive the promise, or admit that you don't. And be done with it. Stop arguing your Ishmael attitudes with Isaac Freeborn. You can't mix. There is no way that they can mix. The Isaac or the Ishmaels cannot mix. And so if someone comes with a negative face and a negative body, and what do you mean a negative face? Well, a negative face is a face that just doesn't have any kind of joy. Sort of hangs out. Sort of swoops out of from the frontal side lobes here and just sort of hangs out, and the lips hang out and the face hangs out. There's no firmness about it at all, just sort of hanging around. They got hang dog. And if someone comes with a negative body, it's a body that is not ready to go to work, you just sort of slouch on in. Just sort of barely make it in the door. Oh, God, I am so tired. We're negative mouth. Well, today looks like a real wing-dinger. It'll be a bad one today. It's starting out wrong. Yeah, you're here. Or if they come in with an arm full of law books, simply understand this, you listening on the radio. They have not received the promise. But anyway, as the believer grows in grace and enters upon a spiritual manhood, grows up into a full nature, the full body, he will be more and more and more disagreeable to the legalist. Because the more that he gets into the Isaac, the freeborn, and that's the born again by the grace of God, by the free message, freely, freely I give you, freely give it away, and is sowing that seed, the more disagreeable he'll become to the legalist. You'll not be able to agree with one single solitary thing that you hear them preach. And I hear a lot of them on the radio. And ultimately, I believe you will see that the two can have no fellowship with one another. You that have received the grace message, watch out who you marry. Watch out, you don't get someone that's a legalist. The young guys that are in here, young women that are in, you young people listening on the radio or this tape. You want to be miserable? Try to mix the two. Try to marry an Ishmael. When you're an Isaac, they won't mix. And until you realize this, you will not be able to fully go on. You'll stalemate. You'll stay right there. I have seen so many people stalemate. They are born by the promise of God and the legalist, and the person gets a hold of them, and they stalemate right there. They halt between two opinions. And they're most miserable. This issue, I believe, must be met. I believe the gospel must be understood like never before. And I say that with a lot of conviction because what I'm seeing on TV is a lot of misunderstanding about the free love and grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel must be preached. The Bible says, woe be it to me, Paul says, if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because we are to sow the seeds of the gospel. And so I believe the freeborn and the legalist must separate. And there is a separation coming between the sheep and the goats. And this is the word that will be, I believe, fulfilled to the Ishmaelite. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with a son, even with Isaac. That will be fulfilled. And so I think it's very important that we recognize right now tonight, you listening on the radio, it will be today when you hear this. I think let us recognize the crimes of the tongue. It's worse than a gun. A gun just kills the body. The tongue kills reputation. The tongue ruins characters. And I think the Ishmael tongues in the church must be cast out. Because the gun works alone, but the tongue has 1,000 accomplices. And the havoc of the gun can be seen at once, but the full evil of the tongue lives through all the years. Where and when a bad word stops, nobody knows. Careful what you do with your tongue. You never know where that word is going to stop. And isn't that a funny thing? You tell a story and then let that story go through 50 people. By the time it gets back to you, you don't even recognize it. It's See, it's our nature to put a little bit more juice in it. Hearsay. Be careful what you do with your tongue. Now, you can tell the crimes of the tongue because you know why? The crimes of the tongue are words of unkindness and anger. Total anger. I talked with a woman today, and she was totally angry. She could not forgive over some small little thing. She could not forgive. I am a saint of God. Well, I thought to myself, what God are you talking about? Now, I recognize that times we do take on that kind of a hard attitude and we soften later on in the evening. It's a funny thing when we can't receive ministry. We claim to be the saints of God. And there's so many people that come on like that. I am a chosen, I am the saints of God. I am a saint. And so those crimes of the tongues are words of malice and envy, bitterness, harsh criticisms, and gossip, lying, and yes, scandal. These are all Ishmael attitudes. Ishmael hated Isaac with the fervor. That envy and that critical spirit and that bitterness and that malice and that anger and that unkindness, they were all there in Ishmael. These are of the devil, the champion, father of lies. Don't let him defeat you. No weapon shall be formed against you that would be caused to prosper. Do you believe that? No, don't let him do it, or even his gang of Ishmaelites. Now, I know that theft and murder are awful crimes, yet in a single year, the sorrow and the pain and divorce and hate and murder and suicides caused by the tongue, it would floor you. And so now let's on a scale pan, this little scale pan we have before us here. Place all the evils resulting from criminals, and in another, the grief and tears and sufferings resulting from the crimes, let's call them of respectability. And it will surprise you that they will far outweigh the other. And some of them are coming from I am a saint people. Half-truths. Half-lies. Slanders. Sort of like I see trees out here painted. Dutch elm disease. And they mark them and they cut them down. And so I believe every individual who breathes a word of scandal is an active stockholder. And I watched a woman today, she was mad at a person, and she went from one person to the next, and she went on. And this person said, or had already begged her pardon, said she was sorry, and she went from one person to the next person, to the next person, to the next person, until she forgot where she was, and she started talking to the same persons again. So I believe every individual who breathes a word of scandal is an active stockholder in the society for the spread of moral contagion. You know how contagious that is? Have you? Do you know that? Have you? You know? Do you know how contagious that is for someone to start something? It's contagious. Like Joni James's song, Yesteryear. Have you heard who's kissing her now? And I believe he is instantly punished by nature by having his mental eyes dimmed to sweetness. When you're angry, can you see anything sweet? Your food doesn't even taste good. You have this big steak with mushrooms coming. Nice salad. Baked potato, sour cream, butter, salt and pepper. Some French bread. Lock all doors and windows. We want anybody going out here for lunch. And something happens to make you envious. Someone comes in that you hate. Someone says a word to you and this old Ishmo pops up. Are you going to enjoy that meal? And so your eyes also are dimmed to sweetness and purity and trust and love. And I believe that mind is darkened and deadened to light and love and grace and revelations. Because it's so fond, so enthralled with causing mayhem and murder and whatever they can cause, that their eyes are dimmed and they walk in a darkness to the sweetness and purity and trust and light and love and grace and revelations from the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not be theirs because they are all balled up with a sort of a gall of bitterness. And they even interpret things in a twisted way. And every act of others is explained, and I believe interpreted, from the very lowest possible motive. Well, you know why they did that, don't you? Do you know why they gave me $1 million? Oh, I don't care. I don't care why somebody gives me $1 million. Just give it to me. But they're not excited about anything. And you can't do anything good for them. They say, well, I know why you did that. Oh, do you? Now I know why they were sweet to me. And they're very suspicious of everybody. And so I said, their eyes are dim to anything good. They then become like flies who fly across rose gardens towards the dunghill to feast on that. They don't even smell the roses along the way. They buzz right on through, and they get to that dunghill and they light on it. And they bury their body. Their wings are swept back. They bury their whole head in the dunghill. I think they then develop a very keen sense of smell, a scent for the foul matter upon which they feed. And if there is a dunghill crowd around, they will find it. Birds of a feather, oh my, how they flock together. I'm watching it on TV right now. Even in the Christian world, I don't care where you go, there is envy and strife, contention, bitterness, anger, resentment, out-and-out battles. A lot of times we have doctrines just because it'll give us an excuse and something to argue about. Do you ever see someone that's looking for an excuse for something to argue about? Aren't they miserable? Well, and sometimes they're mad and they won't even tell you why. Well, what are you mad about? And they won't even say anything. Well, what to tell a person like that? Well, if you're going to be mad all by yourself. You're not going to contaminate me. Right? Jim and I had to walk away from a gentleman today. I just refused to be contaminated. Walked away. No, it doesn't take me long to smell a dunghill, man. I ain't going to sit around smelling, sniffing on no dunghill. Now, come on now. Oh, here comes a dunghill. So then this particular dunghill, if he becomes a leader, they have a whole lot of other little dunghills following after him. They might even call themselves a majority dunghill crowd. And they have a whole lot of majority dunghills following along. Can you picture a dunghill with little legs and arms and maybe just a little head, two eyes sticking out of the top of it? Aren't they miserable? Well, you might, maybe it is so that you can't tell a book by its cover, but you can sure tell a dunghill by its stink. And so they interpret, I said, everything in sort of a twisted way. And I think these actions very well describe their Ishmael. I think we are all targets, however, for the Ishmael crowd. The more that you love, the less you are loved. Ishmael hates you. Inspired by Satan through envy and bitterness, and that's how Satan comes in. Through unlove, and it happened so quickly. Oh, what got into that person? Well, ish, he got into him. Ever been around a person, they turn into an ish? Ishmael? It happened so quickly, a few words spoken by a tongue of a slanderer. And I believe an insignificant or significant expression of the eyes. Just a shift of the eyes, a rolling of the eyes. Or maybe even a cruel shrug of the shoulders with pursing of lips. That proud, haughty look. And it's so sad, those once friendly hands become cold and clammy, and isn't that depressing when you see someone like that and you thought, wow, this is certainly an Isaac person, and all of a sudden Ishmael is standing before you. A smile replaced by a sneer. And then one stands alone wondering at the vague, intangible something that has caused it all. Well, what caused all this? I can't put my finger on it. So intangible. What did I do? Nothing. You are an Isaac and you're going to be hated. You are born again. You are going to be hated. Yes, even hated, the Bible says, in the house of your friends. You've been hit, friends, by the Ishmael mock. Yeah. Think of the newspapers. Think of the TV and the radio. That big tongue that feeds millions of ears. They can be collectors of the dead, stinking carcasses of sin. But be careful, because there's a whole lot of Ishmaels around telling you should go here or go there. I was up at the cafe the other day, and this man come up and he says, you know, there's two sisters. One came to me and says, you know what? I had a dream, and in this dream, you were on a boat, and this boat was headed towards Israel, had Israel written on the side of it. Then another woman came some time back and said the same thing. Well, I said, do they belong to the same prayer group? Why don't you have a dream for them and say, you have to leave at 2 o'clock this afternoon on the same boat. That must be confirmation. I had the same dream. You were on the boat with me. Let's go. Pack your bags. No, I said, do nothing till you hear from me is what the Lord is saying. And the only thing a person can give you, these Ishmaels can give you, is something God has already told. They can give you a confirmation on what God has already shown you personally. Don't you go running off and jumping on a boat.
That was episode 281, part 1 of Promise 3. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper. It might be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. And you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress. Maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil.
serve somebody.